turned it on, I turned it off. Does he deserve the glory?
Yes.
Let's give him a hand praise. He deserves it all. Let's pray. Father, this afternoon, we're so thankful, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad to be in it. We're thankful, Father, to be under the sound of the word of God today. We thank you for those on the airways. We thank you for those in the house. We thank you for your very presence here. You say where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst of them.
Yes.
God, we thank you. We welcome you here with us in this tiny place. But God, you make us great.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the season we are just gotten out of, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for what you did for us. God, we couldn't have done it ourselves. You did it for us. You paid the price. You did all the heavy lifting. And all you ask of us is that we believe. All you ask of us is that we go and tell somebody about your goodness. God, we thank you for your people here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I'm going to step back. As John says, I must decrease so you could increase, God. And so, Lord, speak through me, Lord. Make me a vessel to your honor, speaking words of life, of health, of truth, of joy, of hope to these your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Progress toward maturity. We just got out of us Resurrection Sunday. We just got out of the Lenten season. We got out of a season where we celebrate what Jesus came to do. That's not what it says. This is what I'm saying. You know, I've been having this problem since power hour this morning. My brain, so like natural life. So in the natural, we do what? We start out as babies. And then we do what? We grow up. All of us are here because we grew up. We weren't born adults. So in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ gives me three ideas. Growing in understanding, first of all, of what Jesus did. Just got through celebrating Resurrection Sunday. What did he do? He paid the price for our sin. Amen. Secondly, grow in appreciation for what he has given us. He's given us what? Eternal life. He's given us a heavenly home. He's given us promises in this life and in the life to come. Thirdly, to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know there's a relationship that we're talking about? Marriage, we talked about that this morning in Power Hour, is a picture of a relationship. God designed marriage. And so when you see the world turning away from marriage, shacking, and doing all these other ideas that come to our imagination, you're talking about a world that has veered away from the ways of God, veered away from the purposes of marriage. We know what it's like to grow physically from a baby to an adult. You need food. You need nourishment. You need protection. You need to go to the doctor when you get a fever. You need vaccinations. You need to go to school. Your parents put you through school. We understand growth from a physical standpoint, but do we understand growth from a spiritual standpoint, from a Christian standpoint? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about progressing toward maturity, growing up in the faith. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, desire, crave the pure spiritual milk that will make you grow into a full experience of salvation. He goes on to say, and I'm reading from the Amplified, cry out for nourishment. A little baby, when he starts seeing that little baby come out and he starts to, wah, he's crying out for nourishment. He needs what? Milk. Babies need milk. Christian babies also need Christian milk. You need Christian milk. So Proverbs 22:6 speaks to parents that train up children. This is our job as parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. The New Living Translation says it like this. It says, direct your children onto the right path. So this is part of parenting. This is part of bringing our children up. When your children are not raised up correctly, you know the answer to that. You see it in society. You see it in governments. When you see leaders in governments that act like what? Children, something went wrong when they came up. And I'm not even talking about people that don't have money. People that have money, a lot of people with a lot of money act like children. People in high positions act like children because somebody dropped the ball when they raised them up. Children grow and they do what they learn to do. If they grow up as adult cheaters, somewhere along the line as kids, they learn how to cheat. But so what we see in our society, in this world, is a lot of what? Dysfunction. Dysfunction in high places and low places. But look, we all need to grow up in the Christian life. Luke 2:52, even Jesus, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. So if Jesus came to earth and he had to grow, what about us? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, so what is he saying? He's saying, I started out young, but I'm not young now. And he's talking about spiritually. Because we have to remember, I don't care how old you are when you get saved, you're still a child when it comes to spiritual things. He says, when I became a man, an adult, I did what? I put away childish things. When I became a man, I grew up. I stopped doing childish ways. That's what growing up is about. And when you look at the word maturity in your dictionaries, a good definition of that I found was maturity just means adulthood. It means adulthood, but not just how old you are. You're 18, so you think you're a man. You can smoke. And that's not what we're talking about here. You're 21, now you can go drink. We're not talking about ages here. We're talking about three characteristics of maturity. First one is wisdom. Wisdom is to be able to take things that are and that take facts and understanding and judgment and take those things and direct them in a proper direction. That's wisdom. Secondly, responsibility. You call yourself a man, you're 22, you're 23 years old, what are you doing with your life? This is part of being an adult. It means you're growing up. You either going to the military, you go get a job and work and pay, if you're going to live with me, you pay some rent, okay? Or you go to college. You choose. Parents that let their children live with them until they're 30 years old, you're doing them a danger. You're doing them, the worst thing you can do is let a boy, especially men, live in your house. They have to go out. My dad used to say, you got to go out and prove yourself a man. You call yourself a man, go out and be a man. Let them fall on their face. Let them go. They have to grow up. This is how they grow up. They have to go through some hard knocks. So maturity, adulthood characterized by wisdom, responsibility, and good decision making. Making good decisions. Now, that's not something that just happens. That's something that has to be trained. It has to be seen. Who are they looking at to make good decisions, make responsible choices? If they're looking at you and you're doing all kinds of things, this is what happens. And this is why our society is as it is. You have people that will go in the department stores and grab things off the rack and run out the door because they think it's okay. That's not good decision making. First of all, it's illegal. It's against the law. Secondly, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. So they have missed the boat when it comes to responsibility and adulthood. Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, so Christ himself gave gifts to the church, prophets, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, so that they can come to the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ becomes our goal. We are to mimic who he is, to imitate Jesus Christ. I want to give you 8 signs of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity, meaning what? Growing up to look like Jesus Christ in his image. First one comes from Proverbs 3:5-6. This is the first thing I want you to understand about spiritual maturity is trust. Trusting God. We all know this verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct your path. That's the first thing. The second thing is servanthood. Even Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to be served. I came. This is God the Son. He deserved to be worshiped. But he said, I didn't come for that. He says, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to what? Serve. Serve who? Serve me. Serve you. Serve us. Servanthood. Ephesians 6, 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. So when we serve one another, it's as if we're serving him. The third thing is integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong and moral principles. And one way to put that, and I like this, doing the right thing when nobody's looking. That's integrity. The fourth thing, self-control, restraint when under attack. We're talking about looking like Jesus. If you ever see anybody that could hold his peace and hold his ground under attack, it was Jesus. He was attacked. Matter of fact, Peter decided he gonna protect Jesus.
Right.
Knocked the guy's ear off. Jesus picks it up, puts it back on. He says, wait a minute here. Look, I don't need your help. I really don't. He said, I can call 12 legions of angels if I needed your help. See? But he was able to what? Restrain himself. That's a mark of Christian maturity. This looks like Christ. When you can know you're right in an argument, and instead of pushing your way through and saying, I want to be right, I want to win this argument, you step back and say, okay, I'm going to hold my peace. Because let's face it, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that God will fight our battles for us. And trust me, especially in a marriage, look, you want to go to bed with peace tonight? Just look. Zip your lip. The fifth thing, concern for other people. More. He said experience. I'm afraid so. So the fifth one, concern for others, more concern, considering other people more highly than yourself. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others more highly than yourself. Amen. I just lost my place. Oh, there you go. The sixth thing, love for others despite themselves. What am I saying? I'm saying love people that are not lovable. That's a mark of Christian maturity. You know, and I know, we all have somebody in the family that just is just hard to get along with. They hard to sit with and talk. You can't even have a good conversation with them. Before they're talking, they're just jabbing you, you know. Matthew 5:44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for them. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. I'm talking about what it looks like to look like Jesus. All this is I'm telling you is you saw it in Jesus' life, didn't you? And the next one is probably the one we all are familiar with, and that's forgiveness. Jesus was tortured.
Right.
Tortured. He was beaten to an inch of his life. Only by the grace of God, he was able to get up and carry his cross up to that hill, and he got on that cross. They nailed him to the cross. And what is the first thing he did? The first thing he got up there when he said, he didn't say, help me. I didn't do anything wrong. What did he say? Father, forgive. Forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love. That's Christ. When God made man in the beginning, and he says, let us make man what? In our image. To reflect his heart, reflect his ways. Jesus became God. Jesus was God. Jesus became a man to show us what God was like. And what did he do? This is what God is like. God loves us so much, He's willing to suffer to see that we don't have to go to hell. He's willing to do that. He forgave us. All our sins were put on Jesus. And Jesus, this is what Jesus agonized about in the garden. He knew that at some point his Father, who had never been apart from him, would turn away. All the beating was bad enough, but not turning, my Father's turning away from me, that was way past. That was way past what he was hoping for. And he said, Father, is there any other way you can do this? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Forgiveness. And finally, faithfulness. A sign of Christian maturity is faithfulness. The definition, to be reliable, consistent, humble, and unwavering toward others, just as he was toward us. Revelation 2:10 says, but remain faithful even when facing death, and I will give you a crown of life. Faithfulness all the way to death, and I'll give you a crown of life. There is a reward coming for those that will be faithful. Now I want to give you 5 steps for those that need to know, how do I get to that place where I'm spiritually mature? I'm going to give you 5 steps, 5 ideas how to get to that place where I'm spiritual, and not just get there, but progress to that point. The first one is what? Get to know the Lord. John 3:5 says, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. What he is saying is Christ's spirit needs to live in us. You can't get much closer than that when he's inside of you. But that's the beginning point, when he plants a seed of life inside of you. That seed now, just as you plant a seed in the ground and you water it, and it has to do what? It has to grow. You have to give it time to grow. Get to know the Lord. Revelation 3:20, this is where Jesus is talking to the churches, and he says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come in, and we'll eat together. And that's what most of us have done. I'd say all of us have done. We have opened our hearts. We've opened the door to our hearts, and he's come in, and he lives in us. But now he has to grow in us. Get to know the Lord. Jesus would say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon me and what? Learn of me. Learn of me. Learn who I am. Learn my ways. Learn my heart. Learn how I love people. Get to know the Lord. The second was pursue God through his word. We talk about this all the time. Stay in the word of God. Study the word. Get under teaching. Get on the people that are talking about the word of God. They're explaining what it's saying, not just what it says, but what does it mean? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me, what? With all your heart. Psalm 119:105 talks about the word. It says the word of God is what? Is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. And when you need light, it's because what? There's dark places. There's darkness. You need the light to enlighten your mind. We walk around. It's daytime outside. You don't need a light on out there, do you? But trust me, it's dark out there. The ways of men, the ways of this world are dark. This is not the way of God out here. A lamp unto it. Give us enlightenment, understanding. Give us wisdom of the things of God. The third thing is spend time with God in prayer and communion. Spend time with him. How many have a habit of getting up in the morning and putting on some clothes? That's a habit. That's a habit. Well, guess what? We need to have a habit of spending time with God. The same way you have a habit of getting on some clothes, get up and get some breakfast. These are habits. These are things you don't even think about it. It's like your stomach. You can be half asleep and your stomach's growling. You walk to the kitchen because it's a habit. Well, some habits are better than others, and this is a habit you need. You need to make a time with God a habit. Even if you have to do it in the shower, pray to the Lord. Talk to the Lord in the shower. Talk to the Lord in the bathroom. Talk to the Lord whenever you get a chance and there's nobody around. Talk to the Lord. Do you know what? His thoughts toward you are more than the sand of the seashore. Do you know what that means? He's always thinking about you. How often are you thinking about him? I'm just telling you to make a habit of spending time with him because he wants to be with you. I'm telling you, when it's really something when love is not returned. You ever had a love interest and they didn't love you back? I'm laughing because I know what happened to me. When you love somebody, you in love with, I know in high school you fall in love with somebody and they in love with somebody else. Woo, man, you're talking about heartbreak. But God wants to spend time with us. He wants to be with us. So spend time with him. Psalm 16:11, this is one of our favorites. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand, what? Pleasures evermore. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you've never seen before. Look at this. He wants to show you stuff. Stuff about him, stuff about yourself, stuff about your loved ones. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to give you understanding. The fourth thing, spend time with like-minded people. Others that love God. Spend time with saints. That's why he tells us in Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together, forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. That's why we go to church. We don't go to church so somebody can get a check mark off the blackboard. I've been to church today, you know. No, we go to church because at church we get what? Encouraged. And we encourage others. We come to church because we get taught. So what? We can go teach others. So there's a thing that happens when you just hang out with people that love God. He said, well, two or three are gathered together in his name, you're in the midst. You can have church when you're sitting at your dinner table with two of your friends. You both start talking about God. You start talking about the Lord. Guess what? You're having church because he's there. Because he and his word, you can't separate him from his word. He's the living word, and we study what? The written word. Spend time with like-minded people. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I lost my place again. Let's see. It's still there. Prayer. Spending time with God in prayer. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what it says in James 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What's the meaning? You can't pray without ceasing. You got to drive your car. You can't pray and drive your car, right? Yes, you can. It's not about continuously praying. It's about having a heart of prayer. It's about a spirit of prayer. It's about seeing people walking down the street and you see them in trouble and you say, Lord, touch right there. And you do that because you know your God and you know your God is capable of taking care of business. He can handle any situation. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1 says men ought always to pray and never give up. Fourthly, spend time with like-minded people. Show thankfulness for all he has done. That's the fifth thing I want you to see here. These are steps to Christian maturity. Show thankfulness. Don't just receive without thanking God. When God gave you a roof over your head last night, did you get up in the morning and say, thank you for that? Don't answer. He fed you last night. You had food in your belly. Did you say, Lord, thank you, my belly's not growling today? Did you have breakfast? Most of us will say yes to this one. You thanked him for your breakfast this morning, didn't you? I hope so. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks in everything means giving thanks in the good things and in the bad things. It didn't say give thanks for the bad things. It does say give thanks in the bad things. Why? Because all things that good or bad work together for good. See, when you don't know the Lord, bad things, they take you wherever they take you. But God will take the bad things in a Christian's life and turn them for good. Isn't that something? Amen. That's something there. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And enter his courts with praise. So just to summarize what we've talked about, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Develop an appetite for the things of God. Put away all the old things, the childish things, and look unto God and look at God's word as a mirror to show you your faults so you can make correction. That's what the word of God does. Looking into that, and when you look in the mirror of God's word, you have to ask yourself this question: am I looking more and more like Jesus Christ? Or am I not? Do I look like my Lord? Somebody say, do you look like your father? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So when you're talking about looking like Jesus, you're really talking about looking like your father, right? How many here would say, if you got pictures of your dad and your mom, you look like one or the other? You're supposed to look like where you came from, right? You know, when you got a father and you look like, you don't look like him. You know, the milkman, you know, I don't know. So we're called, as I said in the beginning, the reason we have to grow up in this Christian life is because of our calling as ambassadors for Christ. We are called to the ministry of what? Reconciliation. First Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. We're king's kids, we're royalty, but we're also priesthood, which means we're intercessors. We're mediators. We're the ones between God and sinners. We're between God and those that have needs. That's our job. So for us to do that job, we have to be mature ambassadors. Yeah. We want to be mature Christians. See, our job is to, he says, go therefore what? Preach the word, teach the word, baptize. He says, make disciples of everybody. And how we do that. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And John 14:12 says, because this is, we're imitating what Christ did when he was here. This is why he told them, he said, I'm going away, and when I go away, the Comforter is going to come. And he's going to do what? Teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance. And he says something that's very powerful for us to remember. John 14:12, he says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. And what? And greater works will he do. What? Because I go to my Father. And because when I go to my Father, then the Comforter comes and lives inside of you. Now where Jesus was limited and where he could go, now all these saints of God, now filled with Jesus' spirit, we are all over the place. And this is why his word is not bound. This is why his word continues to go out. This is why we can go behind the walls and penetrate people's hearts behind the prison doors, behind prison walls, the women's prison. This is why we can touch people in the shelters. This is why we can touch people at the motels, because God has given us his spirit. The same thing that Jesus was able to do, we're able to do. Did Jesus open blinded eyes? Yes, he did. And guess what? We open blinded eyes as well. I'm not talking about physical eyes. I'm talking about blindness that's spiritual. We open people's blinded eyes by giving them what? The light of the word. By giving them the truth of the word. This is what Jesus says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And we're going to do these things. We do raise the dead, because everybody that's walking around every day that doesn't know Christ is dead in trespasses and sins. Am I right? So guess what? When we present them the gospel, we give them the word of life. We give them the word of the Lord. Guess what? They become resurrected. They become alive. They're moved from darkness into his marvelous light. So we share God's love, his forgiveness, and his hope to this dark and dying world. Isn't that something? Is that a blessing? All right, then let's stand and have a word of prayer. All those things that we just talked about, pray about, because we want to be mature ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Your word is living, it's powerful. You ask us, Lord, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, that our relationship with you and with others gets better and better every day. We pray, Lord, that we can develop an appetite for the things of God, to put on the new man, to put on Jesus Christ, to take off the old ways, the old habits, the old childish ways, and put on the new man. Father, give us that we might look into your word as a mirror, a word that would show us, Lord, how we can better ourselves as Christians, how we can be good representatives of you in this dark and dying world. God, we thank you for the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that they have heard your word. We thank you, Lord, that they are taking that word as good seed, which has been planted in their hearts today. God, now we ask that you come along and send somebody to water. Send somebody, Lord, to plant more seeds, Lord, that much good fruit is born, Lord, that you be glorified and that we be blessed. God, we thank you. Lord, if someone is here to this afternoon that doesn't know you, wants to grow in grace, wants to grow in their relationship with you, God, we ask that you touch them even right now. God, we ask that you awaken in them, Lord, something that they didn't know was even there. Stir up the gift in their souls today, God, that they might decide that I want to do better. I want to bring somebody to Christ this year. I want to help my children to grow up and understand that there is a God and he's real. Thank you today, God, for all you are, all you've done for your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. It's on you, brother.
Praise God. Well, we've heard the word. You know, we don't need to sit back down. We just need to give God glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Growing in grace, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm not where I used to be.
Yes.
I may not be where I want to be, but I know that my hope and my trust is in Jesus, and he's continually blessing me and raising me and showing me some things. Have anybody been reading the Bible and you finding something you never saw before? You've been reading it for years. Wait a minute, where'd that come from? So we're growing in the Lord, amen? Praise God, praise God. So Jennifer, did you have a song on your heart? Are you good? You did. All right, all right. Well, we gonna go out on a high note. Praise the Lord. We'll give the benediction. So grateful for the visitors that are here today. Amen. Amen. You know, if you ever want to be a part of 3P's, nobody gonna drag you up here and take a credit, take your credit card number, and you know, have you sign the paper, and you know. But if you want to be a part of this ministry, just keep on coming. Amen. Just come on and just jump in where the water is stirred. Praise the Lord. Amen.